Tonight, we're talking all things Egypt with Dr. Carmen Bolter. She's the director and writer of The Pyramid Code, and she's here to discuss how archaeologists and experts from around the world have been invited to examine and analyze the new data from scans at the conference that will be held next month in Cairo. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Dr. Carmen Bolter. We're discussing what's behind the wall, or who is behind the wall over in the Valley of the Kings in King Tut's tomb. Carmen, right before the break, you said that it's not Nefertiti back there. And if it's not Nefertiti, where is she?
Okay. Well, first, though, I mean, during the break, I've been thinking, continuing my conversation with you. And if they're going to have a conference, why do they need world experts? If the scan is a scan and the scan is showing there's a body, then you know there's a body. If you want to examine the tissue, open up the thing, get the mummy out, examine the tissue, and do DNA testing. What's the dog and pony show of getting experts from all over the world to go, yeah, I know what's in there. Yeah, I know what's in there. Go look. Look at the scan. See if there's something. Like, we don't even know that there's anything there.
Well, there's also reports right now, and I don't know what to believe, but there's reports now that they're using another level of scan this month in April, and that those results will be also revealed. But we don't know what that is. But supposedly, again, I don't know for sure, but they're showing metal objects too as well, and they're able to deduce that.
Well, then, what kind of scan are they using? I want to know the details on the kind of scan, because true research is replicatable. That you go through the methodology, you show the test, you explain the capability of the test, and that the idea is someone else can go later and replicate the same study. So to get people with opinions and have a conference with opinions when all you're looking at is scans, it's just not the way to get to the truth. And it actually doesn't make that much sense anyway. So I feel like I'm in a unique position here because I care so much about this subject matter and that whole period of time. So if you want to turn your attention now to what happened to Nefertiti.
Yeah, where is she?
Well, okay. So I went to Amarna a couple of times, and I went there with Hakim, who's the indigenous wisdom keeper in the Pyramid Code, and there were six of us in all. And I was with people who actually feel that they have had, they understood the incarnation at Amarna, and they had past lives there themselves. And so I totally trusted just the whole situation and how it all became so clear about what was going on there. So the truth is, we haven't had peace on the planet since this situation at Amarna, where it was not hierarchical, it was creative and artistic. Everything that's been said and written about that period of time, it's based on Akhenaten being crazy. It's based on the Amun priesthood being the golden ones, when they were the correct ones. Now, we're never going to prove it, I suppose, but there's certain factors that have laid their tracks in history, if you will. And so it strikes me that, okay, there was a lot of corruption going on with the Amun priesthood. Remember, they're hidden and dark, right? And Nefertiti and Akhenaten went, you know what? We don't want to do this. We don't want to, fight corruption or anything. We're just going to start over. And so they moved to a neutral place and created this whatever.
Well, and all of the temples were, technically shut down. The priests were out of work. They went from being, pretty wealthy and had things going on for them to suddenly, the temples being shut down and virtually living a life of poverty.
Well, it wasn't poverty, because they still had their stashes and they had wealth from before, but they didn't like not having the power. And so, all these stories were made up that Nefertiti and Akhenaten were worshipping a disc, a sun disk, worshiping a disk.
Right.
It, like, they're complete idiots. You know, no, they were into the understanding of solar energy. I mean, they had it together. It was peaceful. There's flowers, trees, chirping birds. It was beautiful. Whoever talks about Amarna, and it was called Akhetaten at the time, having any kind of redeeming features, or these people having any redeeming features, and then the Amun priesthood was plotting to take them down. And I've come to understand it that they infiltrated and they had some spies on both sides, and then they poisoned. Now, I mean, how are you going to verify this? But this is my understanding of how it went. They poisoned one of Nefertiti Akhenaten's daughter. It just completely threw Akhenaten into complete despair, inconsolable. He went to stay at the Grand Palace, and the women and children were up at the North Palace. And the Amun priesthood was plotting to get the power back. And when they did, and when they decided to infiltrate, and, you know, Akhenaten was completely demoralized, they came to do him in. And I say they cut him up into pieces, killed him, cut him up to pieces, threw him in the river, and it was replicating or originating that cutting Osiris up into 14 pieces. I tell you, let's talk in 50 years, they're never going to find Akhenaten.
Well, and up to that point, this is what I've always found fascinating with Egyptian history, but right up to that point, for 2,000 years, they had it pretty good. You know, they had the Nile, they had the Nile Valley, they had great crops, the family life was good, there was money, the population was small enough that there was enough food and everything else just to go around. They had a separate god at each temple and each city, and everything was just smooth. And Nefertiti and Akhenaten came along and upset that balance that was pretty smooth. Society wasn't upset up to that point.
Nope, it's the opposite of that. And as, you know, the story we're told is usually the opposite.
Right.
No, the Amun priesthood was ripping everybody off. 50% of everybody, all the wealth that anybody had went to the temples. They had the Nilometer, which meant the level of the water of the Nile that would put the salt, the silt, onto the fields would give the abundance of the crop. And people had to give 50% of everything they had to the temple, which would ensure their salvation. So you were buying your salvation. That's not spiritual. That's what the Catholic Church is doing. You know, you pay to, you know, light a candle and all that. And Akhenaten and Nefertiti left and started over. They were the ones that had peace. They were the ones that had abundance and creativity. There has been such a concerted effort to make them look like the crazy people when they were the good ones. To me, I care about this so much. Anyway, so here comes the Amun priesthood, and they want to get their stuff back. They want to get the power back. So they were vicious. And they just completely ransacked and destroyed the place, knocked him off. And I say Nefertiti was in, she could see, we could see into the future from those lives. We have not had peace since. She could see that. She was, the love of her life is dead. And so she walked out of Egypt. And a lot of the population of Amarna walked out too, because it wasn't safe anymore. That's not the Exodus. People try to say, you know, Akhenaten was Moses. No, they're 800 years apart. There's so much wrong with everything that's been said about Akhenaten. And how I ended up, you know, whatever, being a person that would be asked on a long, you know, radio show about this is, I'm shaking my head too. But it just, anyway, I say, Nefertiti was now in danger. Nothing that was of the balance of Amarna was there anymore. So she had to leave.
Which direction did she leave in, and who did she leave with?
Okay. Now, I'm hypothesizing. We can't prove it, and we can't go phone her up and ask her. Imagine this with me. That whoever her entourage was said to her, okay, it's not over yet, but it's coming. The danger's coming. They're going to flatten the place. Which of the treasures here would you like to, that would make, what do you want to take? we've got two or three chariots here. If it fits on these, you can bring it. So she made her choice of what she could bring. And that, whatever, expedition went off, and another one protected her, so it wasn't too much to notice, and they went north. So, evidence. I told you last time we talked.
Yes.
We're going to find.
Yes.
I didn't tell you where. And I just about had a heart attack when I saw these pictures. And a couple of days ago, they sent me a video of that same room. There's a sarcophagus that rivals King Tut's. Have you seen anything else that looks like King Tut's sarcophagus in Egypt? No.
No.
They're stone, they're wooden, they're painted. Nothing is like that gold sarcophagus. The gold sarcophagus looks similar. It's of the same genre.
The same gold, the same look.
The same cross, the same, yes. The same.
Right.
Nothing else is like it.
Well, certainly King Tut's sarcophagus is singular, you know, into the world. So to put something at that level, it could only equate to somebody of Nefertiti's stature.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the big storyline? Now think. Look at all this. Look, think about all of Coast to Coast and all the guests and all the unpacking of all these stories of who says what and it isn't what they said. And there's an underbelly to all the stories. This is no different.
Right.
Somebody gets the propaganda and they know. And okay, so let's just come from that perspective that everything you've been told about it's wrong, probably.
Right.
So
I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
Okay, so the big thing that they said was they went to one god and they canceled all the gods. No, they didn't. They had Hathor and Isis and Sekhmet and Ptah, and you know. Where do you get this idea that there's only one god when they're all represented still? So, and this is the cache that has been carbon-14 dated to 15,000 years ago.
Who did the carbon dating, do you know?
Well, the people who found it. Now, the thing is I have not been able to go to Turkey to verify it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's issues in Turkey right now. Oops, I said it.
Yeah, you did. You just said it.
Turkey, it's, yeah, I knew you'd get things out of me.
Well, that's what I do. It's my job. Okay, so before we go back.
You're better at it than most.
we'll get back. Hold on. I'm writing this down right now. Okay, so before we get back to Turkey, which is interesting because that's not only north.
I'll repeat that again.
Well, that's not only north, but that's going through a couple of other regions,
no,
too.
No, I didn't say she went there.
Okay. Well, okay. Hold on. Let's back up. To make the sarcophagus, they didn't leave Turkey with it. She was still alive. So that means...
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
Listen, you never heard this before, and the evidence is not verified yet, but could be, but I do have pictures. Okay, what I was trying to say is in this stash, it's all gold, and every single one of the gods and goddesses are, not every single one, okay. There's Ptah, there's Isis, there's Sekhmet, there's, it goes on.
Osiris?
There's like 8 or 9 statues right at the front of this stash.
How tall are they? Can you tell?
Yeah.
How big is the room?
Well, I just got it. At first, I had two pictures. Now I've got a video that looks around. Not that it's not a room. It's stuck in a mountain. It's a cave. But anyway, the gods and goddesses are represented. We've got Anubis. We've got a mummification bed, and we've got Amenhotep II. And I know this stuff, right? I know it anyway. So I'm looking through. I just literally, when I saw this picture, I just about had a heart attack. And I'm looking across and going, this is Amarna stuff. This is, and sure enough, and it's teeny tiny. These are poor resolution pictures. Akhenaten is there. There is a statue, unmistakable, gold statue of Akhenaten in this stash. So the sarcophagus is, the same size as Tut's would be. And these statues are what? 3 feet high. Something like that. Not huge in a temple, but they are all gold and they are from that period. And when I looked at it, here's what I thought. If she had to leave and she was being protected,
Right.
And her entourage said, what do you want to bring before they come and wreck the place?
Right.
This is what she picked. And the thing that she picked was to show that they did not go to one God. And so it's like, I call it, it's like Zechariah Sitchin and the Sitchinites. Like, people can't verify what he's saying, so they repeat it and repeat it, and they believe it and repeat it. But everything he said isn't true, not necessarily.
Whose face is represented on the sarcophagus?
I wouldn't say anyone's in particular, but it's that kind of thing. Okay, now, Christopher Dunn, who I really respect,
mm-hmm.
is talking about the Ramses statues
mm-hmm.
and the technology, Lost Technologies of Ancient Egypt is the book where he's doing all the measurement and he takes photographs and puts them into his AutoCAD program.
Right, the mirror imaging side to side, amazing research.
Okay.
Yes.
So I sat across the table from him at a speaker's dinner for CPAC, the Conference on Procession and Ancient Knowledge. And I looked at him and I said, do you really think it's Ramses? And he looked at me and went, no. I said, well, why do you keep telling everybody it's Ramses? He says, it's easier that way because everybody knows Ramses. I said, do you know who it is? Maybe. It's Amenhotep III. It's Akhenaten's father in all those statues. That Ramses came along and went, yeah, I like that. Put my name on it.
Right.
He knows it's not Ramses. But the point of the matter is it's the Ramses statues. Ramses didn't make those. They came from the 18th dynasty.
What you've seen, but you've seen, and this, I depend on you for this, Carmen. You've seen all of the faces. You've seen the sculpture spanning throughout the dynastic periods. And when you look at this sarcophagus and this face that is represented there, who do you see? Or is it somebody that you haven't seen before? Is it Nefertiti's face?
No, I don't know. Like, the thing is that I can't have all the answers. I can only go from the logic and the way you really do research and the similarities, but also the balance that was in those things. Because there's fake, there's videos, there's a video. Look what we found in Jordan 4 days ago. And it looks like a movie set of somebody who knows nothing about Egypt.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We're going to jump in. We're going to take a break right here. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Carmen Balter is with us. We're discussing all things Egypt right now. And she is talking about a discovery that has just been made in a cave of some treasure and those artifacts that could truly, honestly, upset academia as we know it right now. And it's called Lost History at its finest. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll be right back. Our guest tonight, Dr. Carmen Balter. Always revelations when she is on the show. And we are discussing right now what is behind King Tut's wall. And if it's not what it's supposed to be, then where is it? And we're discussing all of that right now. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with Dr. Carmen Balter right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Dr. Carmen Balter. Now, Carmen, right before the break, you let it slip, but that's okay. So let's focus on that a little bit.
Can you forget about that?
No, absolutely not. And we're going to go right there. So if the Exodus for Nefertiti, and they go north, is that what is in these videos and images that you've seen? I just want to be very clear about what we're talking about.
Okay. That's not the only stuff that we're... I've got like over 150 pictures and probably 10 videos now coming from this enormous find. And mostly it's matriarchal. It's not guns and spears and arrows. It's art. And the amount of treasure is staggering. The jewels, the coins, the gold, the art, the artifacts is mind-boggling. And I've been, going to museums around the world looking at this stuff, and this really fits with Angels and Archetypes, my book, An Evolutionary Map of Feminine Consciousness, about matriarchal cultures. Well, what happened to this stuff? And how, I mean, this is, there's a lot of magic going on here too. How is it that I'm connected and being shown these pictures? And I've been shown things, as I said before, that aren't authentic. But because I've been looking at this stuff for so long, I can tell where it's from and when. So we've got stuff from Troy, we've got Greco-Roman, Roman, Greek, things from the Minoan culture, and it goes on and on. Diamonds, gold, 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 gold bricks. And this find that I'm, and loads of stuff from Egypt. It's hard to even wrap our brain around it. I've had a little longer than anyone else has because I saw it. I've been seeing these pictures.
Is the video, let me ask you, is the video HD? Was it shot on a cell phone? And how old is the video? Is it from last month, last year? Do you have any idea?
Yes. All these videos start with a date and time stamp. Some of these, okay, when they found this particular treasure, I am told they had found it 4 days before. There's stuff from 2015. There's stuff from last week. I get ongoing images. And, if there's dates on it.
Could this... Okay, this is when we start asking some very direct questions. Would this be allowed to rewrite history in history books and Orthodox academia, or is this something that is going to get squashed and we won't hear anything about it after tonight's show?
How about both? You know, so you can go and Google new find and nothing will come up online because it's not really out.
Right.
And it is already kind of being squished. And these videos are absolutely horrible. It's like somebody holding, you know, your cell phone between your thumb and your forefinger and just swinging it. Like, I was on a film shoot today, and you really have to be careful with how you get your shots. So, I'm supposed to be the one to go and film it, and it's been delayed and delayed and delayed. So we don't know. I can't push it. I can't push the river. Will it rewrite history? Well, maybe we rewrite her story.
Right.
Because this is from matriarchal cultures. This is the real research base for me is my book, which is encyclopedic in itself. And, okay. We're not used to something new coming along. Same old, same old. People aren't that observant. If it's new, never mind. I never heard of it. It's not true. We're so indoctrinated with propaganda and repetition that we don't even know how to think anymore.
How close is it to the Syrian border? Is it close to Göbekli Tepe? Is the conflict that's going on over there right now, is that interfering with you going over there? Is it too close to the border?
Jimmy, can we talk about something else?
No, we can't. I need to know. I need to know exactly what's going on. And the audience right now...
Who knows what's going to happen next? But in some ways, you know, I've been dealing with this now for 6 weeks. And yes, it's right there.
It's close to the Syrian border. And it's close to Göbekli Tepe, you said?
Yes.
Interesting. And it's in the mountains. Okay.
What are you gonna do? Organize an expedition and go find it?
I'll meet you there. How's that? We can go there together.
The thing is, what is all this though? I get all this information. And I'm supposed to not tell anybody, you know. And then there's Jimmy Church. Well, and it's late at night. And you pried my brain open. But like, why shouldn't I talk about it? I'm not telling you it's true or anything. I'm telling you I've seen pictures. I got a hunch. I've been trying to examine this whole thing with Amarna for years. We've got the story wrong. Where did we go wrong? What has been the propaganda? Who's piggybacked along with it? We're only trying to get to the truth. But I'm telling you, when I see these artifacts, I'm like, this is from here, this is from there, this is from there. And then, you know, with my team, it's actually my animation team for the New Atlantis, I can show them other. I've got 25,000 archive pictures that I took from museums around the world and Egypt and stuff. So I've got them all categorized in terms of, you know, what they are, where they came from, what museum, the period. And so I was able to go and show her other things that look like that to show that it's from there and there. So how this information is connecting to me, and I've been spending my whole life looking at this stuff, let's think about that. How is this even happening?
What do you think if there are indeed chambers at King Tut's tomb behind that wall, would they actually cut through it, and how would they do that? Do you think that they would actually go that far? For me, I just don't see it happening. No matter what the scans show, I just don't see them cutting through the wall at King Tut's chamber.
But think, why not? If we're supposed to find out what who are they inviting to be at the conference, who can make a decision without seeing anything, and everybody's so compartmentalized and specialized, then the guy that's the geologist won't know about scanning technology. We're hooped. The whole system has officially arrived at the place where no one can figure anything out. We're not supposed to have psychic anything. I'm following along with cellular memory. I see that as a hypothesis. It's not the verification.
Right.
Proof is a word that they use in legal terms. But that's all the system. That's all the patriarchal stuff that keeps us from getting to the truth. And so there's all these people running around and running. If you really want to know what's behind the wall, go look.
Well,
it's not going to happen.
And we have the same issues with King Tut's chamber as we do with this cave and the evidence that you have seen with this treasure. And obviously there's something there that you have seen that ties Nefertiti back to this treasure and the multiple gods and so forth. And I understand that, but I don't understand why there isn't a university involved right now. And there's progress going with this treasure, or is it being dealt with in the private sector?
Hold on. Universities actually don't necessarily bring truth. They're funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. Don't get me going. Okay, so it's not about, we still think the government's on our side, they're here to help. You know, the truth is going to come, and if we get a new discovery, they'll tell us, you know, they'll let us see. And it's not like that out there. Like, I've gotten loads of permits to film in Egypt. When I had my carte blanche permit to film in Egypt that cost money, that took 6 months to arrange, I had more trouble filming and going into places because now they had my name. The permit brought the police, brought everybody, you know, and the pyramid code is the product of these permits. But we paid $3,000 to film inside the Pyramid of Unas at Saqqara, which is the pyramid text, which is in the pyramid code.
Right.
You know what? They gave us, are you ready? 1 minute to film it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't get it. And I feel that maybe going this time around and keeping, possibly trying to keep this in private hands may be the way to go to get the information out there. Can I ask you this? Is this cave located on private property? Is there danger of it not being kept secret?
It's always danger. They seem to. I'm getting really uncomfortable about this conversation because you're like, what did I say to somebody the other day? Jimmy Church, I'm like the paint can, and he's prying the lid open.
Well, because and you know, this audience is very smart, Carmen, and I am just one of them. And this is the one subject that we can live and experience in real time. Egypt is right there. These discoveries are out there. Göbekli Tepe is real. These are things that we need to go out and discover and learn about. And I am so excited about all of this. And I don't want this information to be suppressed, and I want it to get out there.
It's going to be, and who knows if we're going to be able to verify it. And I'm not going to, like, I haven't seen the carbon 14 dating certificate, but the guy who got the dating told me that was the year that came back. So in order to tell the story properly, we got to see the certificate. I got to know what the lab was and all of that. And so we can't jump ahead of ourselves, and it's not that easy. And those pictures have already been taken, as poor as they are. And we can start to piece things back together, but we can't, but there's lots and lots of things in this world that will prevent us from piecing it together properly.
And just like Göbekli Tepe, Carmen, Göbekli Tepe should be something that it should be discussed in the mainstream media every single day about being one of the most important discoveries ever in the history of everything. And it's not.
So what about Klaus Schmidt, who suddenly was swimming and next thing you knew he was dead?
At the age of 61.
Swimming, which means he's swimming. He goes swimming.
Right.
And so all of a sudden he's, okay. But when you're listening to him, when I'm listening to him talk, oh, we see all these spirals. Oh, we don't know what they are. We see red, white, and black. Oh, we don't know what it is. Everything's round. We don't know what it is. We don't see pottery, so nobody's living there, so we don't know what it is. There's one word that would answer everything he's saying. Do you know what that word is?
Feminine.
Matriarchal.
Yep. Yep.
Spirals, red, white, and black, round.
Yes.
You know, it's like 13,000 years ago would have been matriarchal.
Well, and no weapons, too. That's the other curious thing.
I know. And that's what these signs are. I mean, if you understood what this is doing to my psyche, because this is the matriarchal stuff. I have been saying for decades, Jim, we're going to come to see the last 5,000 years as the patriarchal hiccup.
Yeah, that's true. And Göbekli Tepe wasn't even supposed to exist, Carmen, as we know. I mean, everything was supposed to start and end at 3000 BC, Sumerian, Mesopotamia, Egypt, the wheel. Everything happened right then. And suddenly Göbekli Tepe.
What do the people, the local people around there, around Göbekli Tepe, they say it's one of the gates to the Garden of Eden.
That's right. That's right.
That's
and so this discovery
to each other
and this discovery being that important, it's not being discussed. I don't even know. I don't even know how this is being dealt with in colleges today, but
it isn't. It's not supposed to be part of mainstream media.
My point exactly.
Okay. Well, what about the Bosnian pyramids? Dr. Sam is handling the whole thing remarkably. He is an upstanding researcher. I'm speaking with him at the Global Pyramid Conference in May in Chicago, amongst a number of other very interesting people. And he was given the permit to be the head researcher for the Bosnian pyramids, and he was told, and he told me this himself. They said, you have carte blanche to run this the way you want, and one thing for sure, the mainstream media will never acknowledge it.
With after the break, I would like to discuss and get into the new Atlantis and your new documentary. And this comes off of course, the Pyramid Code, extremely successful, well done, five-part documentary. I've watched it. I don't know how many times. I watch it constantly. Did you expect that kind of success with the Pyramid Code when you were doing it then? Did you know that you would have that kind of reception looking back?
No, but I also knew I had to do it. You see, I feel guided. I don't do anything unless I'm dragged around and doors open and magic happens. And one of the things that, you know, I finish what I start. I mean, it was impossible too. More than impossible.
Right.
And there's loads of things in that. And now the new Atlantis is the next thing that Spirit's dragging me around to do. So even though I have to verify in hardcore reality of truth of now, I get all these hypotheses, I call them, which is like a vision of something. And I can't just go and say it, which is what a lot of people do. it's true because I said so. You know, other people say it's true because Hakeem said so. And the audience should never ask, how do you know or what do you mean? And so I have to verify. So I have this generosity of gifts of vision, hunches, and then I go and follow it and go, yep, there it is. It's fascinating. I mean, it's really fascinating to sit where I sit.
And you also have the production value and quality coming off of the Pyramid Code. That's a lot to live up to. And you've got, is it going to have that same look and feel that you did before? And certainly with the music and narration as well?
Better. We've got 4K footage, which is four times stronger than HD. With the filming, I've personally filmed in 10 countries already. It's Sally Jennings doing the narration, voiceover Sally.
She's great.
I've got a new composer. And the music is coming through that just gives me shivers. I mean, what does Atlanta sound like? I mean, this is like definitely the sequel. It'll be better.
And really quick, leading into the break, what is the new Atlantis and what can we expect?
Okay. Think of the Pyramid Code and we go back three episodes before it and two episodes after it.
So it's a prequel and a follow-up.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, like, I get you.
But it's even going further into obscurity. Like, what can you prove, show, demonstrate about Atlantis? Well, how do you get your clues? And that's the same style as the Pyramid Code. And it's also, okay, what's the first line of the Pyramid Code? Who are the ancients?
That's right.
What did they know? And what did they know? What's the last line of the Pyramid Code? How would our society change if consciousness was the highest value instead of profit?
Our guest tonight is Carmen Bolter. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Your calls next. We'll be right back.